This is from a work called Sefer HaChaim. And it was written by the brother of the Maharal. Okay, that's the last time I'm going to call him the brother of the Maharal, because he's his own person, and you wouldn't like if someone defined you by, you know, the brother of so-and-so. Rav Chaim ben Bezalel, the brother of the Maharal of Prague. Okay, so when did he live? When did the Maharal live? About 500 years ago. He lived from the year 15, this is the Rav Chaim, his brother, lived from 1520 to 1588. Okay? But when you read this Sefer, what's so amazing about it is, and it's the same thing when you read the writings of the Maharal, somehow they were writing with a style that I always feel like it could have been written last week. You don't find Sfarim from 500 years ago that have such a contemporary feel to it. But somehow the Maharal and his brother were somehow able to write in a way that's just so understandable and so relevant. Okay, so I want to learn, it's a Sefer that's divided the sections of the Sefer. You can see this section is called Sefer Zechuyos. Okay, and it follows the Sefer is called Sefer HaChaim. This is Sefer Zechuyos, Sefer HaChaim Tovim, Sefer Parnasa V'Chalkala. Right? Sounds familiar a little bit. Sefer Slichu Mechila. Okay, all the things that we say in Avinu Malkeinu that we want to be sealed in the different books. But he has an amazing piece. It's the very first piece in the Sefer. And he talks about the proper way to learn Torah. And I feel like as we, you know, continue to get to know each other through Torah, it's kedai for us to know what are we trying to do when we learn Torah. And it happens to have a very strong Elul connection, as I'll try to explain as we go. Okay, so let's see. Let's jump right in. HaTorah nechlekes l'shnei chalakim. The Torah we know is divided into two parts. So you'll say Torah shebichsav and Torah shebalpeh. That's also true. He's going to divide it differently. HaChelek harishon hu yedios hamuskalos. I don't want to try to translate that. The first section of the Torah, the first aspect of the Torah, is yedias hamuskalos. It's understanding,
knowledge.
It's acquiring ideas, knowing how God thinks. Yedias sodei Torah usisarel, understanding the secrets of the Torah, the knowledge of the Torah. Again, understanding the ideas of the Torah, and we call that, he says, hanikra chochmas elokim, the wisdom of God. But what's the second? If that's how he's defining the first aspect of Torah, what's the second aspect of Torah? Achelak hasheini hu yedias hamitzvos shabah. I just heard Rav Schechter say in a shiur he gave about a week and a half ago. Rav Schechter said, when you understand Rabbi Akiva Eger's kasha on the Gemara, he said, Rav Schechter referred to it as, that's the icing on the second piece of cake. Meaning what? That's not the main thing in Torah. Sometimes in the base medrash you feel like, you know, the fancy kasha is the main thing. The main thing is knowing what Hashem wants you to do with your life, is knowing the mitzvos, is an understanding of how does Torah inform me how to live. So what he calls here the second chelek, right, is not just the abstract intellect, understanding the mind of God, but rather it's knowing the mitzvos of the Torah, hanikra Torah sa'adam. How does Torah apply to me? Not just the chachmas elokim above, but how do I live with that knowledge? Okay, now you see he's going to take a strong stance against those who are philosophical and they never apply the Torah to their life. Va'philosophia b'charu lehem chelek harishon b'nei kama ta'amim. The big philosophers all chose the first chelek of Torah. They all wanted to philosophize about God and think about God and understand the theory of God. For a number of reasons. Hatama rishon, lefishia aminu shatzlachas hanefesh eino davuk rak v'yedias hamuskalos. Because they said very simply, man is made up of what? Of body and soul. Which part is the essence of man? The soul, the mind. And therefore, it's not so much about what I do, but it's about how I think. It's what I understand. Ki bis'ase ka'odem b'dvarim elyonim, when I attach my intellect, my mind, my soul, to lofty matters, so when I attach myself to an idea, right? So I attach myself to the spiritual nature. Where's an idea? Anyone show me an idea? Show me an idea. You can't hold an idea in your hand, right? It's more spiritual by nature. It's more abstract by nature. So if I want to elevate the part of myself that's more godly, one would think that what? It's all about the ideas. It's all about the theories. It's all about the philosophies. It's all about the understanding of things. That's much more spiritual. Tama sheni, she'ena Torah nitzchis rak b'shvil hachelak hazeh shel idiyos hamuskalos. And the second reason that the philosophers focus more, again, the first part I think we understood. The first reason is that what? Is that the soul is, by definition, spiritual, and the way to enhance the soul is to work on spiritual ideas. Again, the realm of ideas. I just don't understand what he's saying. How does it benefit? I don't understand that line. Ba'atam ha'sheini, and the second reason, again, is that the Torah is eternal. In what sense? In its ideas. The ideas of the Torah are eternal. Ki kumosha ha'inyonim ha'elyonim eina mishtanim, kach lo yishtana ha'yediyah b'hem. Just like God is unchanging, things that are beyond this world are essential, as opposed to things of this world which are non-essential, right? So too, the ideas, when one attaches himself to those ideas, again, you're attaching yourself to eternity. This is the real thing. Masha ein kein b'yediyas ha-mitzvos, what the philosophers say, as opposed to when it comes to the study of mitzvos, ha-ba'im litzorach ha-roz darche adam, mitzvos are just guiding us in this world. Your lulav, you could have the nicest lulav, it doesn't last forever. You have the nicest pair of tefillin, right? Eventually they're going to need some upkeep. An idea, if you have an emistic idea, that idea is what? That idea is eternal. Right? It doesn't change. As opposed to the yediyas ha-mitzvos, the knowledge of mitzvos that guide us, efshar sheyishtanu kederach sheyishtan adam. Maybe the way that you act is going to change in accordance with, you know, different societies and different rules and different ways of living one's life. Hatama shlishi, she'ikri ni'imas ha-torah u'misikasa eino ela b'yediyas ha-miskalus, she'asig ha-adam yatzo. And lastly, right, the sweetness of Torah is experienced through what? It's not through getting up in the morning and dragging yourself out to put on your tefillin. Right, that can be very burdensome. The sweetness of Torah is being able to, again, to understand an idea, to philosophize about an idea, to understand the wisdom. Ki lo ya'arov la'adam rachachmas atzmo. Lo mashalo minu mekabo mizulasom. Because the true pleasure of a person is when they understand something in their own way. Not what someone tells you to do. A mitzvah is Hashem telling me, do this, do that. At least when I philosophize about God, then I can bring my own element to it, I can bring my own thinking to it. Ki lo yinam lenefesh yediyas din pruta achas. In other words, a person doesn't enjoy just telling me, you know, you tell me a simple fact, you're supposed to do this. I could talk about the why forever. Why does Hashem command this to be? But the actual thing is sometimes very schleppy. So the philosophers, for a variety of reasons, on the page, felt that the essence of Torah and mitzvos is, of course, the ideas. Right? What do I care, again, about one little halacha? O mishpat shnayim ochsim betalis. You have halachas that tell me how to deal with this little pruta, how to deal with this little coin, or two guys fighting over a talis. Yeah, that's petty. I want to talk about the big things. I don't want to talk about God. Again, I want to be a philosopher. And Hatam HaRavi, and the fourth explanation why philosophers choose philosophy over actually living a life of Torah and mitzvos, Lefisha mitzvah leida ulahamin. Because after all, the mitzvah is to know and to believe. V'chol esomich al ha-kabbalah levad, and anyone who just does what he's told to do, right? Why are you Jewish? I don't know, my parents told me this is what I'm supposed to do. It's like a person who gets money from his master and he doesn't count it. You can't just receive, be on the receiving end of Torah. You have to be a person who's understanding it. And then he starts to realize that his money is lacking because he wasn't taking care of it. So these are the explanations of the philosophers. Again, the philosophers say, reason number one, the nature of ideas is that they're more spiritual, and when I meditate on ideas, I become more spiritual. Reason number two, the chelek of the Torah that deals with ideas are eternal, as opposed to mitzvah objects, which are short-lived. Number three, it's much more pleasurable, right, to philosophize about an idea than it is to fight over a talis and figure out how to actually divide it up. And reason number four is, after all, there's a mitzvah to know God. Right? The Rambam's definition of amunah in Hashem is an amunah that comes from studying God. Right? So the philosophers have all sorts of reasons why, again, knowing God and experiencing God in the abstract is of much greater significance Then what? Then just like getting out of bed and putting on your tefillin. Or shaking a lulav. Learning what the Or Gedaliah has to say about the reasons for the shofar is more geschmack than like, you know, going to Minyan and actually hearing someone krechz out a shofar blast. Right? And we all can relate a little bit to these ideas. But what the Sefer Chaim is going to tell us, as Jews, the ikar is the doing. The ikar is not the philosophizing. The ikar is not the theoretical relationship that I have with Hashem. The ikar is the real relationship I have with Hashem. Why did I say this is deeply connected to Chodesh Elul? In the Sefer Yetzirah, which is one of the earliest works of Kabbalah, the Sefer Yetzirah says that every month has different expressions that unlock for us the essence of the month. What do I mean by that? So it says in Sefer Yetzirah that every month has a body part that corresponds to that month. Every month has a letter of the Hebrew alphabet that corresponds to that month. Every month has a astrological sign, a horoscope that corresponds to that month. Every month has a tribe that corresponds to that month. Every month has an action or an emotion that corresponds to that month. Okay, and we spoke about this a little bit in one of the pieces we were learning in Or Gedaliah. Anyone remember what the action for the month of Elul is? I told you that Nisan is speech, right? Because we tell the story. Haggadah, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kolamar Bela Saper is a Meshubach. And Er is Hirhor, is thinking. And Adar is laughter. What is Elul? Masa. Right? Masa, doing. Elul is a time for doing. Right? Why is Elul a time for doing? Why is Elul a time for doing? So you could say, what do you mean? That's the end of the calendar year, so I need to just score a lot of points. Right? Or maybe it's the reminder, maybe it's a strong reminder to us that it could be this whole last year, I can fool myself into thinking I was very close to Hashem because in theory I was very close to Hashem. I knew all the right things. I knew what I was supposed to do. So now ask yourself in Chodesh Elul, Maaseh, Tachlis. But did you do it? Right? I can give a nice Dvar Torah about the importance of davening with Kavanah. Great. Do you daven with Kavanah? I know it's important to do this or to do that. Is that my experience? Is that something that's real to me? Or is it still a philosophy? Okay? So the month of Elul is actually a time where we try to what? Where we try to become doers. Right? We try to get involved in doing. Even without so much Kavanah. Obviously, we always want to have Kavanah. But I have to emphasize the importance of just doing mitzvos. Of just doing mitzvos. Doing what I'm supposed to do. I told this story in the drasha I gave Shabbos morning that Rav Reuven Feinstein, son of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, a number of years ago at a Torah Mesorah convention told this story. He said that there was a bachur in yeshiva who came to him with a shaila. He said that he had borrowed a tape recorder from his friend. And he was holding the tape recorder one day by the handle, and he was like swinging it by the handle, not paying too much attention, swinging it by the handle, and the tape recorder flew off the handle and smashed into the wall and was broken. So he wanted to know if he has to pay his friend. He felt that maybe I shouldn't have to pay it because it was an accident. I borrowed my friend's tape recorder, I broke it by accident, maybe I don't have to pay. And Rav Reuven was beside himself. You know why? He said, because in yeshiva, that yeshiva bachar, what was he learning? What was he learning? He was learning Perek HaMafkid, which speaks about how a borrower is responsible for what? For damages that he causes, even by accident. He's been learning it in shir, like be'ilin, the whole year. But he couldn't connect it to the fact that what? That when I actually break a tape recorder, I actually have to pay. But it was an accident. I shouldn't have to pay. It was an accident. The whole zman, you've been learning that you're chayav to pay. But there was a disconnect between what? Between what he learned in Beis Medrash and how he was actually living his life. So Rav Reuven Feinstein went to his father, he asked Rav Moshe, he said, what on earth is going on here? How could there be such a gap between machshava and maisa, between philosophy and practice? How could that be? So Rav Moshe said to him, he said, probably this is what happened. When he first started learning Gemara, let's assume he began with brachos. Not everyone starts with brachos, let's imagine. He probably started learning Maseches Brachos. And the beginning of Brachos, it talks about the Zman for Kriyashma, right? Zman Mitfilah, Zman Kriyashma. So when this young man learned the Gemara that talks about Sof Zman Kriyashma, yeah? At the Sei Shema by a certain time, he said to himself, do people actually do that? Nah, a lot of people don't do that. I know a lot of shuls that don't like pay attention to that. So Rav Moshe said it must be that when he first was, you know, gaining his initiation into Gemara, his first taste of Gemara, was that he saw halachos, and then he said, no one practices these. So he came to the conclusion that when we learn Gemara, the Rav Moshe said, very, you know, cynically probably, right? That when we learn Gemara, we read the rules, but we don't like actually do them. So Reuben said he wanted to find out. He said this, it was true. This kid, the first thing he learned was Maseches Brachos, and he learned about Zman Kriyat Shema. And he saw that, you know, in his community, people weren't makbid on Zman Kriyat Shema. They davened whenever. Like, no one paid attention to these things. Right? So his whole entrance into the study of the deep wellsprings, the Yam HaTalmud of Torah Shebaal Peh, was that, like, you know, like, we read it, but, like, we don't actually do it. That's such a tragedy. That there could be a disconnect between what a person knows he's supposed to do and what he actually does. And again, he convinces himself, I'm a big philosopher. He's got all these reasons why what he's doing is in fact, a higher level. Right? I'm attaching myself to the eternity of the soul, to the eternity of an idea. Not just bringing it down into, you know, gashmius, but the whole tachlis is to be able to serve Hashem through the doing of the mitzvahs. Okay, let's keep reading. Va'ata, middle paragraph on page Lamed Ches. Va'ata hatei oznecha ushma divrei chachamim chachmei emes, asher ya'aminu emes omein, shehachelek hasheni shu yediyas hamitzvos hu ikar. He says, now let me tell you the truth. In a line, yediyas hamitzvos, knowing how to live your life, that is the ikar. Right? Not just the abstract philosophy. Being able to do it. Not being able to say, I wanted to come to Shir, but actually coming to Shir. Not saying I wanted to daven with a minion, but actually davening with a minion. Right? Not understanding why it should be, but actually living it. And that's supposed to be the ikar of what a Jew does. Spending his time learning how to live his life as an Eved Hashem. Because this itself, this alone, is the godly portion of man. Because again, the ideas as they exist on high in the abstract, like the Navi says, no eye has seen it besides you, Hashem. You can philosophize all day. Maybe you're right, maybe you're wrong. Maybe it's emes, maybe it's not. But when the Torah tells you, do A, B, C, D, and you do it, you know you're living emes. Right? Your understanding of Hashem may be right, may be wrong. No one knows for sure. Ayin lo rasa. No eye has seen it. Ki hu levado hevin darka. Again, chaver, we're invited by the Torah to try to understand Torah. The Sefer HaChinuch, every mitzvah gives you a shoresh ha-mitzvah, the reason for the mitzvah, the root of the mitzvah. The Rambam wrote the Mor Nevuchim explaining all the mitzvahs. But the goal, the ikar, is not to understand the mitzvah, it's to blow the shofar because Hashem says blow. Right? And the Gemara says, why do we blow the shofar? In Maseches Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says, why do we blow the shofar? The Gemara says, because Rachmana Amr Tiku, because God said blow the shofar. Right? I mean, that's reason number one, why we do anything. Hashem said so, like I told you. And now it's the philosophers say, but the eternity of the Torah is the ideas of the Torah. Right? Again, my lulav is going to eventually rot. My chefsa shal mitzvah doesn't last forever. Eino ele hefech advreihem. It's really the opposite. Ki eich yuchlo liyispar benitzchis chachmasa veheim lo yamdu al chachmasa. Because how could you claim to have a shaykhis to the eternity of an idea when you're not even living that idea? Ki lo ya'aminu rak mashi yasigu besichlam tchila. Because after all, the philosophers, right, they only believe that which they understand, that which they think they understand. And because of the many doubts and the questions, right, because as you explore more deeply, new questions arise. Lo rabim yachmu, most do not become wise, they just become all convoluted in their thinking. And that which was my philosophy yesterday, today I have a new philosophy. So in fact, nitzchius, right, is not found in the philosophy. The philosophy changes from one day to the next. What's nitzchi? You know what's nitzchi? That Hashem wants you to keep kosher. That's nitzchi. It's eternal. Obviously, the philosophy of kosher is also eternal, but you're not going to be able to figure that out per se. The fact that Hashem wants you to keep kosher, the Torah is never changing. It's one of the principles of our faith. There's not going to be a New Testament. It's eternal. So the philosophy themselves change. Ubam tamidli de sveka v'sakanas nefesh. They come to all sorts of doubts. Ula olam heim chachamim be'eneim. They're always, obviously, philosophers are always, you know, they have it figured out in their own eyes. Ve'enem makavlim zemizeh. They don't receive one from another. Rakol echad bona la'atzmo tiras emunaso. Each one builds his own palace of ideas. Kefi mashiyala arucha, whatever his mind tells him. Umasha ze bona ze sosa. This one builds, this one destroys. This one builds, someone else contradicts it. Until you become what? You become a non-believer. Because you've moved away from the essential principles of Torah, which is to live a life of Torah and mitzvos. So how could they think that because they're osik in the realm of ideas, so they're in the world of eternity, but your ideas are going to change? What a couple decades ago was considered very healthy is today considered, oh my gosh, it's going to make you sick. It's terribly sick. Yeah? No. Going for a smoke after a meal is actually good for digestion. That's crazy. Right? Certain foods, as they said, eat a ton of once upon a time, they say barely eat at all today. Right? And vice versa. And I'm sure in another 50 years, things will change once again. Right? What's eternal is the actual yediyas hamitzvos. What Hashem wants you to do with your life, that is eternal. So now he says an amazing thing. Listen to this. Avalo kein zera Yaakov zera munim. Not so those of us who are the descendants of Yaakov, who are believers in Torah. We have the humility to realize that what we do, what we're told, there's a certain Mesorah, Kabbalah, Moshe, Kibel, Torah, Messina, right? It's passed from generation to generation. Not that we can't explore, not that we can't philosophize, but it has to be rooted in doing what Hashem wants you to do. Shehem talmidim hamakshivim lekol hazakenim hagedolim shebehem. That we make ourselves students to the greater ones who came before us, kedei lekabel asa'emes. Va'afilu hagedolim shebehem lo nikru rak talmidei chachamim. Let's learn something amazing from the Sefer HaChaim. Says Rav Chaim ben Bezalel, the Friedberg. Friedberg was where he was a Rav. And the holy brother of the Maharal. Listen to what he says. Unbelievable. Think about the term. You ever think about the term? Talmud Chacham. What does that mean, Talmud Chacham? Yeah? Talmud Chacham. We call a person who's outstanding in Torah a Talmud Chacham. What do the words mean? Rav Chaim Kanievsky is a huge Talmud Chacham. What does Talmud Chacham mean? What is a Talmud? A Talmud is a student. He's a student of a Chacham. Right? I mean, no, he is the Chacham. Why do we call him a Talmud Chacham? Why do we call a person who's great in Torah a Talmud Chacham? You ever think about that term? Now you're going to know the answer. If someone asks you, why do you call a great, distinguished person a Talmud Chacham? He should be called a Chacham. Why is he a student of Chacham? Right? Because a person of true wisdom has the humility to see himself as what? I'm just a learner. I'm receiving from my Rebbe. I'm part of a Mesorah. We learn from one another. In the page, we call the Gemara the Talmud. Right? Because again, this is the tradition of what's being passed, what's being received one from the next. Not only are the mitzvos and the principles of Torah, and the explanations of the Torah, and the reasons of the Torah, part of our Mesorah. But how to live your life. Midos. Character development. It's all part of a Mesorah. Lo yistu avoseinu midas atzom. We didn't make things up. We received it from Hashem, and we passed it on from one generation to the next. Rak hakol haya al pi kabbalah sa'avos harishonim hakadoshim, ish mi pi ish ad Moshe Rabbeinu olav shalom. That it's a tradition of how to Not only the mitzvot, not only the ideas of the Torah, even the midos. How does a Jew act in a particular situation? Pirkei Avos. V'lezeh samchu mishnas Moshe kibel lahakadamas mesachas Avos. Why does Pirkei Avos begin Moshe kibel Torah misinai, u'mesara liyoshua, Yeshua zekenim? This is what the Bartanura writes also in his commentary on Pirkei Avos, his first comment, Pirkei Avos. Why does Pirkei Avos begin Moshe kibel Torah misinai? Think about it. It's a very general Mishnah. It should be the first Mishnah in Shas. That's how Maseches Brachos should begin. Moshe kibel Torah misinai, Mesar Yeshua, Yeshua Zekenim, Zekenim Leviim, Nevi'im Tam Shekinesa Gedola. And then I should say, Me'im Asai Kor and Shema Ba'arvis. When do we say Shema at night? That's how Mesechas Bracha should begin. Why? Pirkei Avos, towards the end of Seder Nezikin, all of a sudden we start Moshe Kibel Torah Misina. Why are we reviewing the fact that Moshe got the Torah from God on Har Sinai and gave it to Yeshua? Why are we going back to that? Chaver, what's the answer? Because when you read Pirkei Avos, you might say, oh, these are nice ideas that Hillel and Shammai made up. These are nice ideas that Shmaya and Avtalion made up. These are nice ideas that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon made up. And therefore, says the Sefer HaChaim, when you begin learning Pirkei Avos, we remind ourselves that what? That the Midos, when Shammai says, greet people with a smile, that is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Not a Shammai idea, he didn't make that up. It's part of the Mesorah of Moshe Kibal Torah Misinai. Lomer Shagam Osa Mesechta, Mesechas Avos, Hu Alpi Kabbalah Sa'avos, Afalpi She'ena Medaberas Element Amidos HaYesharos. Everything a Jew does, every move we make, is guided by what? Is guided by Torah. It's not our own philosophies. And that's how we have to always ask ourselves, am I living the way that Hashem wants me to live? Right? Of course we're encouraged to think, we're encouraged to be machadesh, we're encouraged to understand in new ways. But at the end of the day, Lamaisa, Chodesh Elo, Maasa, right? What do you have to show for your actions? And then he says another amazing thing. Right? We just learned why Talmidei Chacham are called Talmidei Chachamim. Here's another one. Listen to this. Va'af Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaShalom, Shehaya Avi Kol HaChachamim, Moshe, the greatest, the wisest of men, as the Gemara calls him in Megillah, the greatest of prophets, the greatest of teachers, right? The great Rebbe that he was. How do we call him? What do we call him? We call him Moshe Rabbeinu. Lo Nikra Rabbeinu Moshe. Isn't that amazing? That is such a humble thing. Moshe Rabbeinu puts his title after his name. First and foremost, I'm Moshe. I'm a human being just like you. Like, no, you're not. You're Rabbeinu. Right? You know? Like, put all those titles up front. Saying all, you know, all your achievements. Rabbi, doctor, you know, Lord, whatever. You know, like whatever titles you can add in front of your name. Right? Whatever plaques you're going to hang on your wall saying how chashuv you are. Moshe Rabbeinu says, no. First I'm Moshe, and then I'm Rabbeinu. That's unbelievable. Why? Rak Nikra Moshe Rabbeinu. He's Moshe the teacher, not the teacher Moshe. Lahagid shelo hechzaknu as toraso b'toras emes b'shul rov his chachmuso. But it's because he doesn't want to show off the fact that I'm so smart. I'm a Jew like everyone else, first and foremost. I have to keep the Torah just like you do. Rak b'bnei shahaya anuv mikol adam. In his humility, he says, I'm Moshe before I'm Rabbeinu. V'lo hechtek ato rak k'moshe ba'alma. I'm a regular Moshe. Such an amazing thing. It speaks volumes about the humility of our leaders. V'samach rak al misoras haTorah shenimser lo b'sinai. Moshe kibol Torah misinai. I got the Torah from God. Right? I didn't create this. I didn't make up this philosophy. I'm also a Talmud. I'm a recipient. I'm a student. V'yidei kach nasehu Rabbeinu. And because of that humility, because he was a receiver, he was Makabel from the Rabbanu Shalom, then he's able to what? To be a Rebbe, to give it over to someone else. He becomes Rabbeinu Lefisha Chazer Velim Dolanu. Because then he comes to, first I'm a student. First and foremost, I'm a student. I'm not a Rebbe. First and foremost, I have to be a student. He says the same thing is true when it comes to the prophets. Think about it. How do we refer to the Nevi'im? Do we say Hanavi Yirmiah? Hanavi Shmuel? Shmuel Hanavi. Right? Yirmiyahu HaNavi. We always put the title after their name. Why? Says the Sefer HaChaim in the next paragraph. V'chein HaNavua. Lefi she'ena museges la'adam al yidei hischachmuso. Again, it's not your brilliance that made you a Navi. The Rambam writes in Yesodei HaTorah in the 7th parak that a person has to do a lot of things to make a Navi. The humility to know that. Moshe was very smart and very capable, but he still had the humility to understand it's not my wisdom. I'm a kli. I make myself a receptacle to receive Hashem's light, Hashem's wisdom. Rak al yedei shefa elokim v'or panav ki ritzisiv. If Hashem chooses to shine His nevuah upon you, you become a navi. Al kein nizkru tchila b'shem ha'etzem shalhem. So first they're called by their name, Yishaya hanavi, Yirmiyah hanavi, v'lo nikru hanavi Yishaya hanavi Yirmiyah. Achein Kula. This is such an important thing. If you want to be great in Torah, which hopefully we all do on some level, if you want to be successful in Torah, you have to have the humility to be someone's student. And every Rebbe has to be a student before he's a Rebbe. Moshe Rabbeinu. You have to be Yirmiyah before you're Yirmiyah HaNavi. It's a healthy sense of self. And again, there's a danger when a person becomes wise, and you should become wise, and you should study, right? But there's a danger. A person who becomes wise, there's a danger of a certain gaiva that can move him away from Shmiras HaMitzvos. And that's really what we're learning today. There's a danger how philosophy could replace the actual service of Hashem. And I become, again, a very theoretical Jew who talks lofty ideas, but doesn't actually live those ideas. B'chol zeh siba lenitzchias HaTorah shalanu. And it's that humility and that commitment to the unbreakable chain of the Mesorah that gives what? True nitzchias, true eternity, eternal value to the Torah. Ha'ol ve'eino chachmas ad melumata. It's not our own man-made ideas. Raki devar Hashem asher la'olam ta'am. Okay, good? Everyone with me so far? It's a really important piece. Let's keep going. U'masha ta'anu gam kein min atzlachas ha'nefesh. And that which the philosopher said, that what? That the soul needs lofty things in order to be successful. Einu ela hefech advarim. Ki lefi svarasam lo yiyeh bechlal atzlachas ha'nefesh, rak yichidei hador kamo aristo v'chaveirav. If you're telling me that only a person who could reach the heights of philosophical exploration and inquiry is considered successful, right? So says the Sefer HaChaim, says Rav Chaim of Friedberg, so then what's going to happen to the average Joe? The average guy who's not such a philosopher? The Pasha de Yid, so he's going to be a failure, he's going to be a loser, he's going to be unsuccessful. Did Hashem create a system by which the masses are going to be spiritually unsuccessful and only Aristotle and his Chevra are going to be considered success stories? The Baal Shem Tov had a similar attitude also about people who also were, you know, the elitist group of people who were studying Gemara in depth. And the Baal Shem Tov came to say to the Pasha de Yid, you're a chashuv in the eyes of Hashem because you're a Pasha de Yid. Because you keep Torah and Mitzvos in a simple way. You're not a big Talmud Chacham. You don't understand the ideas very deeply, but you're living the Torah. That's the Iker. So according to you, says the Sefer HaChaim, according to the philosophers, so Aristotle is chashuv. And Aristotle, by the way, in the eyes of the Rambam, is very chashuv. He quotes Aristotle more than he quotes Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rambam held of Aristotle. He was a genius. Yeah. But he didn't have Torah. And when we say the bracha of Shalom Asani Goy, like the tzaddikim tell us, we're saying, I'd rather be the most simple Pasha de Yid, right, than to be the most chashuv, greatest intellect of the Umos HaOlam. Because the Iker is be able to serve Hashem, to do the mitzvos. So God forbid to believe such a thing. That what? That the Torah was only given for to great philosophers. Regular people can't be successful Jews. Says the Sefer HaChaim, the Torah was a gift that Hashem gave to every Jew, whether you're a Chacham or whether you're a Tam. That's exactly what we say in the Haggadah. What do we say? We say, Baruch HaMakom Baruchu. No? Baruch She? Nasan Torah Lama Yisrael. And what's right next to it? Keneged Arba Banim Dibra Torah. The Torah speaks to four children. To a Chacham, to a Rasha, to a Tam, to a She'eni Yodei Elishol. It can't be, says the Sefer HaChaim, that success in Torah is defined by what? By being a genius. Can't be. Being a philosopher. It cannot be. Kinyan Shanamar Mo Rasha Kihilas Yaakov, like we were learning on Thursday. Right? The Torah was given what? As the Mo Rasha, as the heritage of the entire Jewish people. Vasiyas HaMitzvos, who? Turn the page. And therefore, doing mitzvos, Shava L'chol Kihilas Yaakov, is shayach to every single Jew. A Jew has to be overjoyed when he does a mitzvah. He sometimes thinks, well, I don't know how to do the mitzvah like a big tzaddik. I don't know the kavanas of the mitzvah. I don't know the deeper ideas behind the mitzvah. The ikar of the mitzvah is doing the mitzvah. Every time I went to the mikvah, I used to always get nervous, like, I don't really know what I'm doing in a mikvah. Until one time, I was by the Stuchina Rebbe, and he was talking about the importance of just doing mitzvahs. And he said, sometimes, and he's a person who knows all the kavanos. I heard someone told me that that Avram Tzvi Kluger said he doesn't know anyone like the Tuchina Rebbe or Matl Zilber who knows the kavanos like as fluently as he does. You know, kavanos Ariza I'm talking about. Yeah. But he said sometimes he just when he does a mitzvah he'll do it just very quickly to remind himself that the mitzvah is chashuv because it's a mitzvah. So now I started when I go to the mikvah on Erev Shabbos, I try to just I go quickly. I don't like psych myself out. I know like a tiny bit of like one little kavanah to have when you go to the mikvah, and that's it. And I'm thinking like, you know, should I stay in the mikvah longer? Should I dip more times? No, I go, I dip a couple of times, and I get out of the mikvah. And I say, Rabbanu Shalom, I went to the mikvah, the Chavetz Shabbos Kodesh. And that's it. And you know what? It's a very good, it's a much loftier experience for me than trying to figure out how to have a lofty experience in the mikvah. Because I'm doing a mitzvah. And a mitzvah is Shavu L'chol Kilos Yaakov. Right? Everyone can do a mitzvah. Everyone's shayach to do a mitzvah. Ki adam ein tzadik ba'aretz sher yitztarich lahorazu. Right? There's no one in the world who needs a special, you know, heter to do a mitzvah. Va'adraba ha'rasha va'atam yitztarichu la'adrachas ha'torah yoser min ha'tzadik va'chacham. In fact, the Jew who doesn't understand is, in a certain sense, more connected to Torah because he needs the guidance of the Torah more so than the big chacham who could figure it out on his own. So the Torah was given to the masses. Ve'ein lecha gam kein shum adam b'Yisrael shlo yis'asek lefachos ba'achas mikol mitzvos Hashem. And there's no Jew in the world who doesn't do a mitzvah. The Gemara at the end of Maseches Chagiga, beautiful Gemara. Is there a Gemara Chagiga there, David, on the Netzer Shas? Chagiga, Moed Katan, usually that volume with a couple Gemaras in one. If not, not. The Gemara says such a beautiful lashon about the Jewish people at the end of Maseches Chagiga. It says that the Jewish people say every Jew is what? Is filled with mitzvos like a pomegranate is filled with seeds. It's on a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Kepelech rimon rakaseich. That afilu, it's okay. Afilu reikonin shabach. That even the empty Jews are filled with mitzvos. What does it mean that even empty Jews are filled with mitzvos? Because every Jew does mitzvos. Right? Not every Jew knows shas, although it should be a goal of every one of us. And not every Jew knows, you know, deeper kavanos of the Torah, even though, again, it's something to strive for. But every Jew does mitzvos. So that's the essence of what it means to be a Jew, to do a mitzvah. Yeah? Va'al yadhu zocha l'chelek ma'al olam haba. And through his mitzvah, he's zocha to a chelek in olam haba. Kol Yisrael yesh lem chelek olam haba. Every Jew's shayach to a portion of the world to come. Right? Va'amei chulam tzadikim, that's right. Because every Jew does mitzvos. And he quotes here, he says in parentheses, Ayin Rambam Peirash HaMishnayis Sof Meseches Makos. Anyone know what he's talking about? What's the last Mishnah at the end of Makos? You know the Mishnah because you hear it all the time. If you ever go to shul between Mincha Maariv and someone gets up to give a 5-minute Dvar Torah, what do they say at the end? Bechrani ben Akashi Omer, Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu, Zakus Es Yisrael. Hashem wanted to make the Jewish people successful, right? The Zakus Es Yisrael, to make us meritorious, or maybe Zach is Lashon Shem and Zay is Zach, to purify the Jewish spirit. We're learning the Sefer Zechuyos from the Sefer Achaim, first section of the Sefer Achaim called Sefer Zechuyos. So Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakos Es Yisrael, nu? So what did Hashem do? Yakir, what did Hashem do? L'fichach, hir b'lehem, Torah u'mitzvos. How did Hashem help us to be successful? He gave us a lot of mitzvos. What is the Rambam write? That's a Mishnah at the end of Makos, that Mishnah. What is the Rambam write in this Perush HaMishnah? You know what the Rambam says? Why did Hashem give us so many mitzvahs? You can ask a question on that Mishnah in Makos. Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakos Es Yisrael, Hashem wanted you to be successful, so He gave you a million things to do. Or at least 613 branches, which span into a million things to do. So Hashem, I don't understand. If you want me to be successful, so give me a couple of things to do. Right? You hear the question on the Mishnah? Hashem wanted us to be successful, so He gave us a ton of things to do. It's overwhelming. Make it easier. Give me Sheva Mitzvos B'nai Noach, like we were learning on Thursday. Then I'll be able to handle it. Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakos Yisrael L'Fichach Hir B'lem Torah Mitzvos. You gave me 39 Malachos on Shabbos to think about. You know, you gave me tons of mitzvos. Endless numbers of paragraphs in the Mishnah Berurah to figure out how to live like a Jew. That's Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakos Yisrael. So what does the Rambam say? So first of all, Think about how many mitzvahs Hashem gives us that are just very easy for us to do. Right. Like, here's one. Here's a mitzvah we all did today, I hope. I'd be scared if anyone tells me otherwise. If you have a problem with this, come speak to me in my office about it. I imagine no one here drank blood today. Anyone here consume it? Anyone get up this morning and say, I need to have a glass of blood? Anyone? We're friends, to be honest. Yeah? So that's an easy mitzvah. The Torah says, don't eat blood. Okay? I have no time to eat blood. So every day when I don't eat blood, I have kavanah Hashem. Today I was zocha, I didn't eat blood. Baruch Hashem. You asked me not to do that, and I was mekayim your word. Right? Hashem gives us a lot of mitzvahs. Many of them are very easy for us to do. They're natural for us to do. We do them anyways. So that's one way. Ratzon Kadosh Baruch Hu lezakos es Yisrael. But says the Rambam in the Perush HaMishnah, at the end of Makos, over the course of your lifetime, if you have so many things that you're trying to do, the Rambam says, there's going to be at least one mitzvah at some point in your life that you get just right. Perfect. You know? There's going to be that one moment, bases loaded, bottom of the ninth, and you're going to hit the grand slam. And that's your defining moment. That's the greatest moment of your life. That's going to be your Olam Haba. That one mitzvah that you did, when no one was looking, you didn't do it to impress anyone, there was no ulterior motive, right? When you did the mitzvah, just l'shem shamayim, there's going to be that one mitzvah that you did just right, and that is going, says the Rambam, to become your Olam Haba. So it says the Sefer HaChaim, again, let's read the words, Ein lecha gam kein shum adam b'Yisrael, there's no Jew in the world, shelo yis'asek lefachos ba'achas mikol mitzvos Hashem, every Jew is going to have at least one mitzvah. That's what makes your Olam Haba. Not your philosophy, not your big fancy philosophy, which might change from one day to the next. And many people say, I'm not smart enough to have a big fancy philosophy. That's okay, says the Sefer HaChaim. That's not what being a Jew is about. Being a Jew is about doing what Hashem wants you to do. That's what the Rambam is talking about in the Perush HaMishnah in Maseches Makos. And this is what Chazal tells us, of course. Even if you're not a big genius of Torah, but you live a life of mitzvos. Obviously, different people have different portions of the world to come, but every Jew has a portion. Everything is in accordance with what? With the abundance of action. You know what the Rambam writes on that Mishnah in Pirkei Avos? What's better? To give a $100 bill to one person for tzedakah, or to give out 100 singles to 100 different people? Rambam said 100 singles. You know why? Rambam says, Hakol lefi rov hamasa. More doing. More doing. Accustom yourself to be a doer. There's such a danger of being a theoretical Jew. I told the mashal on Shabbos from the Dubna Magid. The Dubna Magid said that one time there was a Rebbe who was walking with his Talmidim in the forest. I went for a stroll in the forest. And it was a forest that was known, in the thick of the forest, it was known where these wild dogs would, you know, hang out. So the students were very scared. So the Rebbe said to them, listen, you have nothing to be afraid of. If, God forbid, we get attacked by a wild dog, I have a segula to protect us. All you have to do is recite the pasuk in Chumash, U'lechol b'nei Yisrael, lo yachatz kelev lishono. Right? The dogs didn't bark when the Jews left Mitzrayim. If the wild dogs attack us, don't worry, just say this pasuk, and the dogs will leave you alone. Okay? So they're walking through the forest, the thick of the forest. All of a sudden they hear some rustling in the brush, and these wild dogs come charging at them, barking, barking. Yeah? And the Rebbe sees the dogs charging at them, and the Rebbe starts running. He takes off, leaves the kids behind. The kids start chasing after the Rebbe. Fine, they get away from the barking dogs. They say, Rebbe, you told us that when the dogs attack, all you have to do is say the pasuk. Say the magic pasuk and he'll be safe. So he said, Rebbe, why didn't you do that? So the Rebbe says to them, I'll tell you what happened. He said, when I saw the barking dogs, I was so afraid of the dogs that I forgot the pasuk. I couldn't remember the pasuk. So I ran away. No, Dubna Magid. Dubna Magid says, what's the mashal? What's the nimshal? Right? The nimshal is, there's a lot of things that, again, that in theory, like I know what I'm supposed to do in this situation, but when I'm in it, I don't know how to do it. Yeah. We psych ourselves out on the Yom Noran. I show up Rosh Hashanah, I know everything I'm supposed to ask for, and I'm just like, I'm too nervous to even remember what I wanted to ask for. Right? So the avoda is to become a Jew who just says, hold on, let's keep this pasha for a second. Right? I know what I need to do. Don't get overwhelmed. Don't get lost in the theory of, again, what I should do in this situation. Again, that story with Rav Moshe Feinstein, such a powerful story. With Rav Reuven Feinstein, Rav Moshe. You're learning all about the responsibilities of a borrower, but you don't understand that when you borrow something and break it, you have to pay for it. It's disconnect. How does such a thing happen? This is the danger. Hakol afi rov hamaseh. We have to train ourselves to be what? To be doers. Chodesh El, the action, according to the deepest works of Kabbalah, is what? The act El is maseh. Be a doer. Be someone who does. V'chein ba'agada elek. Amir Rabbo seinu sha'atinok mishah shemaschil edaber. O mishah sha'ona amein. Hu ben olam haba. Another shayla on the philosophers. Says the Sefer Achayim. You ever hear tragically of a little baby who died? Does that baby get Olam Haba? He was no philosopher. At best, maybe his father or mother taught him to say Shema. Maybe he used to sing Torah, 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 Torah. He's not a big philosopher. He knows a couple of words of Torah. You taught him to answer Amen when he hears someone make a bracha. You taught him the Aleph Beis. He knows a little bit, right? You let him shake your lulav a little bit. A little kid passed away. He doesn't... Right? What's his philosophy? And the Gemara says that a child, from the time he begins to speak, to answer Amen, he's already a Ben Olam Haba. What's he Ben Olam Haba about? If Olam Haba is about being a big philosopher, then what's his Olam Haba? V'chol zehora atzuma. So all this indicates that the hatzlachas hanefesh eino tole belimad hachachma levad. It's not the wisdom, again, that is the success of the soul, kedasa philosophim, like the philosophers claim. This little kid doesn't even understand the words he's saying. But you taught him how to read the Pasuk in Chumash. He doesn't understand it in a deep way. But he's doing Ratzon Hashem. He's learning Torah. He's answering Amen. He's doing a couple of mitzvahs. He's learning how to make a bracha on his breakfast cereal. Like my 4.5-year-old son made a bracha on his Cheerios this morning. Yeah. What does he understand? He understands what he's saying? But his father has trained him to do a mitzvah, and that's his Olam Haba. Rabbi Hussein Uzal lo amru gam kein shemitzvah lahaschu lahamin, rak leidu ulahamin. When our sages talk about what? Of knowing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's leidu ulahamin. It's not lahaschu. What's the difference between das and seichel? Ratu bezesh etzorach leida ofnei ikari emuna v'sharasheh kasher hei mekubalim biyadeinu v'pi Moshe Rabbeinu olav ha'shalom. It's not about creating your own philosophy. It's about knowing the philosophy that already exists. In other words, being a recipient of the tradition of the Jewish people and knowing the principles of our faith. You don't have to figure it all out. The Chafetz Chaim didn't let his children, listen to this, the Chafetz Chaim did not allow his children to read the Rambam's Mor Nevuchim. Rabbi Nachman was also very against the Mor Nevuchim. The Halakha Rambam wrote a book called The Mor Nevuchim, The Guide for the Perplexed. Why did the Chofetz Chaim not let his children read the Mor Nevuchim? It's the backbone of Jewish philosophy, medieval Jewish philosophy. The Rambam's Mor Nevuchim. Why did the Chofetz Chaim not let his children read the Mor Nevuchim? What's in there? That's so controversial. The Rambam was influenced by Greek philosophy, that's true. But he's still the Rambam, come on. Not a treif book. Why didn't the Chofetz Chaim let his children read the Rambam's Mor Nevuchim? Because he said to his children, you don't need it. Right? And it wasn't the Chofetz Chaim being haughty, but he said, your father's the Chofetz Chaim. You don't need... The Mor Nevuchim is the guide for the perplexed. You don't need to be perplexed. The Chofetz Chaim says, I'll teach you the Ikari Amunah. I'll teach you how to live a life of Torah mitzvos. The Rambam's Mor Nevuchim is for a person who's lost himself, is all confused, and needs to straighten himself out. Once he has all sorts of ideas in his head, so then he needs the Rambam Nevuchim to straighten himself out. But it would be better to just be what? Not lahaskil lahamin, but leida lahamin. Leida means to acquire that knowledge through the tradition of the Jewish people, and you don't need to go figure it all out. The Chofetz Chaim would say to his children, you don't have to be like Avram Avinu who rediscovers God. You don't have to start from scratch. Right? You have to just be able to know what a Jew is supposed to do. Okay? Now, Chaver, let's get to one last section. V'nusach birchas haTorah. Let's figure out how when we recite a bracha on Torah, you'll have a new understanding. Again, we've learned a lot of things today. Right? We've learned what it means to really be a Jew, and how we sometimes lose ourselves in wanting to be intellectual Jews and not being actual Jews, practicing Jews. and the dangers of that. And how our greatest people were what? Were Talmidei Chachamim. And they were not Hanavi Yirmiya, but Yirmiya Hanavi. Okay, and that even a baby can be a Ben Olam Haba because he does mitzvahs. And that Moresh Akilas Yaakov, that while philosophy is not for everyone, but certainly doing mitzvahs is for all Jews. V'nusach Birchas HaTorah, the bottom paragraph from page 9. V'nusach Birchas HaTorah eina al shetzivanu lilmod Torah. The bracha is not on what? On the learning of Torah. Rak shetzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. To be busy with Torah. To be osek in Torah. Now osek also implies learning it well. It's true. But making an asek out of Torah means being busy with Torah. Being involved with Torah. And that means doing Torah. Lefisha esek ha'asiya hu ikar. And the reason the bracha is la'asok b'divrei Torah is because the doing of Torah is the ikar of Torah. Uvala hagid gam kein sha'af agav she'ein atam yodu alanu ve'ein anu ba'asiya sarak kemis'asek b'kodshim ba'alma. Esek implies being mis'asek. What does mis'asek mean? It's a category in halacha. Being mis'asek means a person who acts almost without intent. Right? Mindlessly, just doing. So says the Sefer HaChaim, part of what Hashem wants us is to just do, even mindlessly, in a certain sense. Obviously, mitzvah shichas kavana, we should try to have kavana, we should try to be mindful. But lasok b'divrei Torah means be osek in Torah. He's going to bring a great proof in a second. Ulefishi yadias tameh ha-mitzvos, vadai mevi cheshek uni'imes gadol al oseha. When I do a mitzvah, when I push myself to do a mitzvah, there's a certain pleasure and enjoyment that comes along with it. Al kein anu mispalin sheya'arevna Hashem Elokeinu divrei sora divrei soraso befinu bechulu v'shniya anachnu v'tzatzeinu v'tzatzei amcha b'Yisrael kulanu yodei shemecha. We daven v'ha'arevna Hashem, make the experience of Torah and mitzvos for myself and for all future generations. We're davening for the mesorah of Torah, that it should be pleasant, it should be sweet. We should be yodei shemecha, those who know your name. Name is the essence of something. We should know the essence. Turn to the final page. Memal. Final photocopy page. What does it mean, yodei shemecha? V'akavana. El yediyas tameh ha-mitzvos, shu yediyas shemo ha-gadol, kasher yado ha-mekubalim. Yes, we want to understand everything. And it should be a very sweet experience. But the essence is la'asok b'divrei Torah. V'atzir ha-neman achar shedarash v'chiker achar drushim elu. So after everything that I've told you, Chazar l'seder lanu shulchan aruch, v'alav kol minei ta'anuge ha-nefesh v'chachmas ha-torah b'chutz tarona. Okay, he's using very poetic lishonos here. Le'imor l'chu l'achmu b'lachmi u'shesu b'yayin masachti. That we should eat the bread of Torah and we should drink the wines of Torah. U'ma lanu imkein l'hatrid tzichleinu b'chinam u'lizbonein heich nasa ha-lechem. He says, when you sit down, I took my wife out, it was her birthday on Friday, we went out for breakfast together. And so we went to this nice new little bakery. Yeah? So when we sat down to eat we got these nice sandwiches. Delicious sandwiches, right? When you're eating a good piece of bread, a nice fresh piece of bread, right? Most people, right, when you're osek in bread, right? What does it mean? What does it mean to be involved with this bread? You eat it, right? And you enjoy its taste, right? How much philosophizing did we do over our sandwiches about the sandwich? Very little. And we said it was great. It was delicious. We enjoyed the experience. We had the full experience. We tasted it. We ingested it, right? But he says when the pasuk in Mishlei says lechu lachmu b'lachmi, yeah, go with my bread. What does it mean to go with my bread? He says again. Look at the words. Umalanu imkein lahatrit tzichlenu. Should we trouble our minds in vain? Lizbonin eich nasa alechem. How is the bread made? Veich niktzar. How is it harvested? Vinitchan. How is it ground up? Vinirkut. How is it sifted? Vinefa. How is it baked? Vekiyotze behem. Right? Most of the time, you walk into a bakery and something looks good. You say, that looks good to eat. Am I interested in getting the recipe? Maybe. How it's made. But more often than not, I'm interested in identifying who's got the best final product. It doesn't really matter how they get it. I don't really care where the wheat was grown. The bottom line is, when I go to this bakery, the challah tastes best. Ki ein lanu rak lechol, li'sadim, right? Eat it and enjoy it. So the same thing is true about the Torah. Sometimes we're so busy trying to know, why should I wear tefillin? Why should I blow a shofar? Why should I sit in the sukkah? Just throw yourself into it, jump into it, and immediately you'll see that what? It's an enjoyable experience. Immerse yourself in the doing of mitzvah. Live it. And you'll come to enjoy it right away. There's a great vart from Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky. Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky said that he saw, actually, it's not his vart, he actually said, I saw this in a sefer. He doesn't say where he saw it. But he says the following vart. And it's so true about people's experience with Torah. Yeah? Remember the scene when the Jews came to Marah and the water was bitter? Now, what did they do to sweeten the water? They threw a stick into the water. Yeah? Hashem revealed a tree, a branch, and they threw it into the water, and the water became sweet, and everything was all better. So the pasuk says, "Vayavo marasa." They came to Mara, and they encountered mayim marim. They encountered bitter waters, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe a stick. Vayoreyu Hashem eats. Hashem taught Moshe about a particular stick, and he took the stick and he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. Parshas Peshav. Trying to find it. Yeah? So here's what he says. He says, what's water? Chaver, what's water? Ein mayim ela Torah. Sometimes in life, a Jew encounters bitter waters. You don't say you think. You know it's at the end of Revi. Just say you know it's at the end of Revi. Where is it? Here's Revi. You saw it? Or here's Revi? Here. You want to help me find it?
Ah, it's before the Lima.
Lima
is before Lima.
Yeah, so where is it? Yeah, here, right here. Good. Beautiful. Thank you. Okay. Yeah. It's there. Marasa. Okay. It's Parak Tazva Pasachav Gimel. Vayavo Marasa. They came to Mara. They came to a bitter place. Velo Yachlu Lishtos Mayim Mimara Kimarim Him. They couldn't drink the bitter waters from Mara because they were bitter. Right. Vayalona An. They started to complain. They cried out. Vayaro Hashem Eitz. Vayashleich Al Mayim. Vayim Tiku Al Mayim. Listen to this part. It's a great part. Said Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky. Said I saw on a sefer Echad B'derech Drush the following part. Mayim is Torah. Sometimes in life, the experience that we have with Torah is bitter. It's not sweet. It's not vaharefna. Lasok b'divrei Torah, when my Torah muscles are not in shape, it's burdensome. It's annoying. The same way physically, when a person gets in the habit of eating healthy, right, you can't even like look at unhealthy food. But when you're not, when you're like just getting started with that diet and starting to make better choices of what you eat, it's very hard. It's burdensome. So we say in our Birchas HaTorah, La'asok b'divrei Torah, I want to be Oseg Torah, I want to do Torah, I want to live Torah, and I ask, please Hashem, V'arevna, make it sweet. But sometimes it's bitter. So says the Pasuk, the Jews sometimes come to a place called Mara, and the water, the Torah, in Mayim el Torah, the water is bitter. V'ayoreyu Hashem Eitz. So Hashem gives you an Eitz. What's an Eitz? An Eitzah. Hashem gives you an Eitzah. Hashem gives you advice. What's the advice? V'ayashleich el Hamayim. Throw yourself into the water. Immerse yourself in it. Stop philosophizing about it. Just do it. Live it. And what? Vayim tiku amayim. And then the water will become sweet. It's so true. It's so true. Anyone who's been to my office, you'll notice next time on the back of my door is a picture of Dr. Seuss, Green Eggs and Ham. Because it's a deep teaching. You know the Maisa, Yoni? You know the Maisa, the Green Eggs and Ham? Dr. Seuss, Green Eggs, who knows? Who's holding Green Eggs and Ham? Dr. Seuss? Right, Dr. Seuss, the whole book is this guy who doesn't want to eat green eggs and ham. He thinks it sounds gross. It does sound gross. Right? It's treif also. Green eggs and ham. So the whole time he's saying, I will not eat green eggs and ham. I will not eat them Sam I am. Yeah? I will not eat them in a boat. I will not eat them with a goat. I will not eat them with a mouse. I will not eat them in a house. The whole time, you know, Dr. Seuss with all the rhymes. Yeah? Finally in the end, finally this guy's begging him, come on, try it, try it. It's geschmack. You're going to like it. No, I'm not going to eat it. Finally at the end of the book, he says, okay, fine. Out of like desperation, like, stop bothering me, Yetzer Tov, you know? Fine, I'll try Torah. I'll just try learning, fine. Gemara is so boring. I'm telling you, it's geschmack. You just got to get yourself into it. No, it's so, I'm telling you, I tried it before. It's so boring. Throw yourself into it. And finally, he tastes it at the end of the book and know what happens. Delicious. I love it. You know who said the same thing? David HaMelech. Ta'amu re'u. Experience it. Taste it. And you'll see. Tov Hashem, that Hashem is good. But if you're just going to philosophize, then until I understand it, I'm not prepared to do it. What do you mean? Nasa v'nishma. First we do it, and then we experience it. Then we understand it. So it says Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky, when you encounter the bitter waters, what? Vayashleich al mayim, jump into the water. Vayimtiku al mayim, then the water becomes sweet. It's like when you go down to the pool, your friend's already in the water. You know? You dip your toe into the water, like it's freezing. Your friend's like, just jump in, it's great. I'm telling you, it's freezing. What do you mean? I felt it myself, it's so cold. Nah, jump in. What happens when you finally jump in and swim around a little bit? It's fine, it's good, it's warm, it's refreshing. Right? But if you're just gonna touch the water with your finger, it's too cold, I'm never gonna get in the water. Throw yourself in, just jump in. And then it makes sense. There's an apocryphal tale actually about the Maharal. I say apocryphal, even though I read it in the Sefer. It's probably not. It doesn't sound like a true story, but it's an important story. The Maharal one time was approached by someone who was contemplating converting to Judaism. What are the steps to conversion? What do you have to do? That's how we deal with the convert. But what does he need to do to complete the conversion? Kabbalas HaMitzvos, right? Bris Milah, and Mikvah. This fellow said the Mikvah thing's weird. I don't get the Mikvah thing. I've studied Torah. I want to become a Jew. I'm prepared even to have the surgery to have Bris Milah. The whole mikveh thing is weird. I don't get it. Why can't I just take like a shower? Why don't I go to the mikveh? What's special about this bath water array? He didn't understand it. So he said to the Maharal, I can't do it until I understand it. The Maharal said, that's not how Judaism works. Nasa v'nishma. We do and then we understand. It's okay for you not to understand something. This is what we do. And the Maharal said, I'll make a deal with you. You go to the mikveh. Complete your conversion process. And then the Maharal, one of the greatest Balei Machshava from 500 years ago, says, after you go to the mikvah, then I'll teach you the sodos of mikvah. I'll teach you the secret of the mikvah. But first you have to do it. Okay, so the fellow agreed to the deal. He goes to the mikvah, comes out of the mikvah, and the Maharal says, okay, good, now I'm going to keep my end of the bargain. I'm going to teach you, you know, the reason, the sodos of the mikvah. And the fellow says to Rebbe, you don't have to teach me anything now. We're good. And I still want to learn, but like, I get it. Now that I did it, I totally get it. Right? It's so true for so many experiences. You know? Until I throw myself into it, right? If I'm gonna be casual about my relationship with a mitzvah, so it's gonna be very hard to feel the sweetness of the mitzvah. But when I throw myself in, I'm osig b'divrei Torah, I'm mamash involved in it, then v'harevna, then it becomes very sweet. So it says Mishlei, l'chu lachmu b'lachmi, just eat the bread. Just eat the bread. You don't have to philosophize about it. Just ingest the Torah and the mitzvos, and you'll see it'll change you, and it'll be a good experience. And Valzen Nemar, next paragraph. Atem tiyu li mamleches kohanim. You should be like a kohen. He says another great var here. Look what he says. Ratzalomar. Shekemo shakohen ha'omid beheichal elokov. Ein roi shiyazbonin ala heichal ahu heich nivne. When a kohen's working in the Beis HaMikdash, is he looking around saying, I wonder how this building was built? He's shechting karbanos. He's up to his knees in blood, right? He's not misboning on the architecture, the architectural structure. Yeah, if there's something real inside, you're less interested in the walls. You're more interested in the experience inside. Maybe that's why people always talk about like the awesome, you know, architecture of like. Someone told me that they went this summer. It's not halachically awesome what they did. They said they went to a part of the world where there's these beautiful churches, and they saw the beautiful architecture of these churches. Jews not allowed to go in. This person said, I saw these beautiful, the architecture of the churches. Why are people so interested in the architecture of the church? Maybe it's the opposite of this one. When the religious experience is lacking, so we get caught up in the architecture. But when the experience, when the mitzvah, when the doing is the ikr, so who cares about the ikr? The business is so beautiful. But a kohen, atem tiuli mamleches kohanim. Hashem says, be like a kohen who's a worker, who's an ovid. That's what a kohen actually means. Rashi and Chumash translates as ovid, a worker. Don't be someone who's philosophizing about the, wow, what a magnificent design. Ein roishi is bonin al heichal, heich nivna. Wow, what a beautiful structure. Here's about the structure. what's the service inside? Rakiyamu l'shari esalokav, serve the God. Be is bonin al avodas haheichal. V'lo al binyan haheichal. Think about what the doing, what you do in a Beis HaMikdash, not just the architecture. Kacha inyan hazeh. That's exactly what I'm trying to explain to you. Nimtza lefi zeh shemasios hamitzos hutanu ganefesh HaMisadin Al Shulchan Gavoa Asher Malei Birchas Hashem. So the greatest pleasure that you can get in this world, again, is really what? It's through the doing. It's living a life of Torah. V'ashe'en kein bekat ha-filosofim shelo yale b'yadam rak rayon ruach v'shivron leiv. Again, the being a philosopher, it leads to just struggles and frustrations. And it's true. Your friend who's a big philosopher, who's not keeping as many mitzvahs as you are, right? He's not having a better life. He's very frustrated because he's chosen that path, which leads to frustration. V'afagav shemaisa mitzvahs u'ikar ve'ein lanu lahar achar kavalaseinu amitis. If you're able to have kavana, he says, ha'alei, you should do it. That's great. It's also good. Even though you don't have a Kabbalah, we should think about mitzvahs. We should have our own understanding of what the mitzvah means to me. But again, the ikar is the doing of the mitzvah. He says three lines from the bottom. That's how we conclude Birchas HaTorah. That what? Baruch HaMalah made Torah Lamu Yisrael. Thank you, Hashem, for being the great teacher of Torah. Right, we say, thank you, you are the Nosein HaTorah. Hakol B'lashon Hove. Hashem is Nosein HaTorah. Hashem is always, always giving the Torah. L'fishu Nosein HaDayin Lanu Torasso B'chol Yom Shekol Echad Yachol L'chadesh Ba. Yes, every single day we can receive the Torah anew, with new explanations, new understanding. Right? You can say your own vart in a pasuk in this week's parsha that no one's ever said in history, and that's beautiful. Ubilvad sheyaskim b'lav shar shehadas v'emuna, as long as it fits obviously into the essential principles of our faith. So again, he's saying I'm not against thinking creatively and understanding deeply, but the shorish of what it means to be a Jew is what is ma'asa, is the doing. Gam yamin kim livad dvarav yesh od milin alka. You should also know that in addition to whatever you think, there's always more to be said. There's layers upon layers, higher and higher. Sof davar emunas omen shakol mitzvah u'mitzvah tole b'chelak echad min ha-merkava. Realize that every mitzvah is another piece of the divine chariot. Va'af agav shedarchei ha-torah v'sodeha ne'alam mimenu. And even though we don't understand the essence really of any mitzvah, nishmor lasos eskol divrei ha-torah hazos. We should be Jews who keep every bit of the Torah. Va'oz yesh schar asiya. That's what it means when Chazal say, Ashrei mi shebo lekan v'talmudo biyado. Think about it for a second. The Gemara says, Ashrei mi shebo lekan v'talmudo biyado. What does it mean, talmudo biyado? Why should my Talmud be in my hand? My Talmud, my study is in my head, no? It's my heart. No, it's in my hand. Praiseworthy is the one who comes to the Olam HaEmes, that he lived the things that he studied. That he applied the Torah to his life. It was a living Torah. It's a Torah's Chaim. Aval ha-filosofim she'ina b'chlal ha-asiya. But the philosophers, many who lived very perverted and corrupted private lives, some of the greatest philosophers, right, were involved in all sorts of crooked things. Like a well-known, more recent than some of these ancient philosophers, it's a well-known ethics professor who was caught having an affair with one of his female students said. They said to him, you're an ethics professor. What are you doing? So he said, if I was teaching geometry, would I need to be a triangle? I'm teaching ethics, I don't have to be ethical. You know how foreign that is to Torah? A person who teaches Torah has to be Torah. That's the prerequisite. The goal is to become Torah. Is to be a living Sefer Torah. The Gemara in Makos Chav Beis. How foolish are people? Rava says, how foolish are people? They stand up on a Sefer Torah, comes out of the Aron, but they don't stand up for a living Sefer Torah. That's what a Talmud Chacham is. He becomes a living embodiment of the Sefer Torah. He applies everything that he learns. But an ethics professor should say, just because I teach it doesn't mean I have to practice it. So it's theoretical. It's crazy. Aval ha-filosofim, ein b'chlal asiyah, the philosophers which are not involved in asiyas ha-mitzvos. So then all of their, again, great understanding doesn't actually count for anything when it's all said and done. And this is what Chazal say, the Chazal Darshan on the Pasuk of Ulumadtem Vaasisem, Kol Sheyeshnu Baasiya, Yeshnu Belemida. If your learning leads to what? To action, then your learning counts. V'chol She'enu Baasiya, Enu Belemida. But if my learning doesn't make me into a better Jew, lemaisa, then we're wasting our time. So, chaver, again, Chodesh El is ma'asa. It's a time to do. And again, there's always a danger. It's a danger that I feel as both a Talmud and a Rebbe, and it's a danger you should both feel as a Talmud and a Rebbe. Every one of you is a Rebbe to your friend, you know, to a younger sibling, to a cousin, to a chavrusa, to a roommate. Every person has to be a Talmud and a Rebbe, but there's a chrayas that we have to feel to make sure that I don't just become someone who says the right things and knows the right things. I have to do it. At some point, you have to do it. Okay, so Hashem should help us to be good Ovdei Hashem. Okay. Shkoyach. Thanks for coming out. It should be a good week. Meretz Hashem.